Peter chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 13 through 17. Let me get my water. I'm not contagious. Allergies. How many of you have allergies? I've had all my shots. I've had COVID probably. I've got allergies because I went fishing last night with Sam and came back just eyes watering and all that good stuff. And yes, I've taken up fishing. I figured if I can figure it out, I can figure out better how to fish for men and enjoy getting out in God's creation. But I did learn something last night that I haven't had before. I have boat rage now. Okay, Sam was all excited about the fish somewhere between Shangri-La and Denby Point. I'm probably not supposed to give the location. And that morning, they were going crazy. And of course, I was not there. And so we were talking, and guys, I now bought my first fishing rod. So I am now the real thing. And so we went out there last night. It was Sam and me, and we were just going to get a couple hours in. And so we get out there, and I've only gone early in the morning or not during the week, and it's like, where did all these boats come from? And I have learned that there's a difference between fishing and recreation when it comes to boats. And so I'd be standing there on the back of the boat, and one of those boats go flying by, and you know, I'm trying not to fall into the water, and started to get a little irritated and started to like shout at them, but I didn't. So anyway, but this morning I'm going to talk to you about something that I love to talk about, and if I step on your toes, that's not my intention. One of the things when I surrendered to preach, my goal was not to please people, but I was to please God. And to do that, sometimes you have to say things that make everybody uncomfortable, including yourself. And this morning, we're going to talk about what it means to be a Christian citizen. We're talking about citizenship for the Christian in a world that we learned last week, we're only here temporarily before we go home. This is not our world. We're temporary here, okay? And so heaven is our destination eventually. But the Apostle Peter wrote this letter in 63 A.D. He's in prison and would eventually in 67 A.D. be crucified upside down for his faith in Jesus Christ. And there was a guy, an emperor, which would be the equivalent of our president, named Nero. And Nero, at first, everybody liked. But with time, they became very, especially the Christians, very afraid of him. He was not a nice guy. He killed his own mom, killed his first wife, and then killed his second wife. And then in 64 A.D., he set Rome on fire because he didn't like the way the city was set up. And he set Rome on fire and burned down Rome, a big portion of it, so he could rebuild it. And of course, to rebuild it, you have to increase taxes. So he put a huge tax load on the people to rebuild Rome. And then he began sometime after 64 to really start to persecute people like you simply because they believed in Jesus. And so he wrote this letter about how to live as a citizen in this world. And what I may say this morning, part of it you're going to love, part of you probably not going to love. But I'm going to be honest with you, because I looked at the scripture and I broke it down and I looked at it and I just can't get around it. Okay? So let's begin by reading the whole passage. It says, for the Lord's sake. Now I think that's an interesting to say what he's about to say. For the Lord's sake. In other words, this is something spiritual. For the Lord's sake, submit. There's that word. We all hate it. Submit to all human authority, whether the king as head of state or the officials he has appointed. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. It is God's will that you live honorable lives, it is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. For you are free, yet you are God's slave, so don't use your freedom as an excuse for evil. Respect everyone and love the family of believers. Fear God and respect the king. All right, let's get started. Number one, no way to get around it, but the Bible teaches that you and I are to submit to those in authority. President, governor, police. We are as believers in Jesus Christ, not excused from following the law. You see, God created three institutions that only work when there is a realization of authority. The family. You can't have a family if children are running the family. If you're a parent, let me just tell you this. Be a parent. Sometimes parents need to man up and be a parent. If you're a citizen, you need to obey the law. God created government, both good and bad governments. My goodness, the government he is telling them to submit to is the Roman government, but government is designed, it has a purpose. God created it, and it's to try to maintain order. So you submit to family, you submit to government. And there's one more, let's see here, and I've gone blank on it. I'll get it come to me in a second. But this is the way the world functions. You have family, you have government, and it will not work if you don't have a respect for authority, if you don't submit to authority. What you will have is chaos, anarchism. The word submit is a Greek word, two words, hypotasso, which means to place under. So if I'm going to submit to the authority, I have to place myself under their leadership. I'm not equal to them. I am to respond to them. So we need to understand that as believers, we don't have a right to say, hey, I'm a Christian. These laws, these rules don't apply to me. God created government. God created government for a good reason. Oh, I got the other one. Not only did he create government and family, he created the church. The three areas of your life that God created that should have some authority over you is the church, is the government, is the family. Those are the three that God created, and I'm very grateful for them, but I will say they will only work when there's a respect for authority. You see, God had a plan for this world, and it was partially through government. Verse 14 says, for the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. I hate to tell you this. If you get rid of the police, you got a problem because you can't punish. All this get rid, this cancel culture, get rid of police, get rid of this stuff. You get rid of police, you get rid of punishment, you have chaos. I wish I could change that and say it's something else, but what you see on TV when they're against any kind of law enforcement, what you have if you remove law enforcement, you have chaos. Because one of the functions of government is to punish evil. I mean, they have jails for a reason, people. It's to punish people who do bad things to people. Now, would you all agree people do bad things to people? What do? Just say, hey, everything's okay. Just go your merry way. We don't believe in jail. You can just be as bad as you want because we don't believe in that kind of thing. No, you don't do that. You want someone who's hurting people, killing people. You want them where? In jail. You want them arrested. And he says, not only does government serve a purpose to give some sort of order, he also says that it's to reward or honor those who do right. And I thought, wow, what is that? What does that mean? Well, have you ever seen a park that is named after somebody? That started back with the Romans when they would donate land and build parks and all these different things, like donate it. They would put their plaque and with a name and say, thank you so-and-so for your gift to mankind. And so government has a function to both punish evil and also to honor those people who are good citizens. And so there is a purpose to government, and there is a purpose for authority. And we need to understand as Christians, as parents, we have to teach respect for authority. Everything I learned about respecting authority started with my mom and dad. I, to this day, have a hard time calling people older than me by their first name. Why? Because I was told as a kid, it's a sign of respect to say, Mr. So-and-so, if they are ordering you. And you say, well, that's old-fashioned. You know what? It taught me to respect people. And so my dad taught me that. My dad also taught me, son, if you get in trouble at school, I didn't get in trouble for making bad grades. I got in trouble for disrespecting authority. Listen, we had the double whammy punishment in my family. If I got in trouble at school, I got in trouble at home. I mean, it was unfair, but you know what? I wasn't a fool. I didn't get in trouble at school because I didn't want to have to deal with double punishment. But my dad taught me that. He taught me to respect people who were not like me. I wasn't allowed to make fun of people. I was to respect police officers. My goodness, I don't know where that came from. I'm scared to death of them when I'm doing right. And I've never gotten roughed up or done anything wrong. You're a police officer. Let me just brag on this man. I went to his retirement. He's called G-Ray. I'm surprised he invited me because I was really wanting to hear some good stories on him. I got one, but he corrected and made it straight. But and Joe, I saw you. I didn't get to speak to you. But I enjoyed being there. And you know what I realized? All these game wardens were there. Men and a woman. Do you just have one woman?
There,
okay. And when I saw that, you know, the first thing came to my mind. I called Shannon and Sam, who were fishing, going, hey, catch as many as you want. They're all here. I did do that. I said, hey, there's no limit today. Keep fishing. I'll let you know. They caught a lot of fish. I don't know how many were in that bucket. But I watched these guys, and I watched Greg. And Greg, one of the things that came away from watching Greg, he's a cool dude. He's like, I'm all right, retirement, and you know, I'm ready to move on and all that. And he is. But when he looked at it, those men and women and told them bye, I could see a bond there, a care, a love. And I mean, and you know what I came out? I came away thinking, man, I want the game wardens protecting me. Because most of them were pretty buff and you know, bad. They got all their guns on. I'm like, man, these dudes are bad. You know, they got their... I felt like I was safe. I felt like I was either in a safe place or the most dangerous place because they could think, oh, we can just throw a bomb in there and get rid of all of them at one time. But if somebody walked in that door, I felt pretty safe. But you know what? I appreciate them. You can say, well, I don't. They should make laws about animals. Let me tell you what. I remember duck hunting when there weren't very many ducks. And they had to put some laws in place that I thought were unfair to get the population back up. You got to have laws. Because if you don't have laws, everybody's an outlaw. You know, Brandon, you work in the sheriff's department, don't you? You guys have a hard job. And the Bible teaches, as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to respect those in authority. That would be law enforcement. That would be teachers. Now, I'm married to a teacher, so I have unlimited story. Let me just tell you, parents, the teacher is always right, even if they're not right, unless it's abusive, and that's a whole different thing. Let me just tell you something. Those kids need to respect those who teach them. That you don't learn if you don't have respect. But the world, you got a boss, you respect your boss. That boss is your authority. Where in the world do we as believers in Jesus Christ who read the Bible get this idea we can do whatever we want and we don't have to respect authority? I just don't know where that came from. As a matter of fact, Paul, and you can look at it later in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through I think about 11 or 12 or 13, says the same exact thing that Peter said. You need to respect those who are in authority. Get this, he even said you're supposed to pay taxes. One of the greatest concerns I have today for our culture is the lack of respect for authority. And it better not be coming from the church. Because the church, if they follow the scriptures, need to be your best citizens, your best students. Not academically, but they need to obey. You say, well, when should I disobey? When should I disobey authority? If they try to get you to do something immoral. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 29, it says, we must obey God rather than human authority. So, if the government came out there and said, hey, Brent, shoot that guy out there, that's when you say no. When the authority comes to you and says, you, for instance, in Nero's day, it was the thing to say, think about this, you were supposed to offer an offering to the emperor. And you would have to, you were supposed to say, the emperor is Lord. But those believers would not do that. And they would say, when they got up there, Jesus is Lord. And they were usually executed for it. That would be an example. When you were asked to do anything immoral, then you have a right to say no, and you should die for that right. But we live in a world where it's no respect for anything. There's no respect for the church, and they'll say, well, we know some preachers who, you know, did some bad things. My goodness, in any occupation that's out there, I know people who do bad things. You know? People say, well, there's bad preachers, there's bad policemen, there's bad this. Yeah, there's bad everything because people are sinners. But let me tell you what, the scripture teaches we are to obey the law. And not just here, but anywhere you live. We're fortunate to live in America where it's not that hard. I learned when I'm in the Dominican Republic, I obey the law of the Dominican Republic. I may not agree with it, but I do what they tell me. Why? It's a law. So I would say parents and I would say Christians, respect authority, submit to it, line up behind it. Don't fight it. It's just not the way it's supposed to be. The second thing is in verse 15, is you need to do right as a citizen. In verse 15 it says, it is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. Your best defense to this world is your lifestyle. Not your words. Your words should come after your lifestyle. Matter of fact, no, if you teach your kids with just your words, they're not going to hear your words, they'll hear your lifestyle. I guarantee that as a parent. But he says, it is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. Basically, you shut up your accusers by your honorable life. Your life does matter. How you live it does matter. Now, what was going on at that time? At that time in history, Christians were being accused of everything. They were being accused of being cannibals. You know why they were being accused of cannibals? Well, they heard them talk about drinking the Lord's blood and eating the Lord's flesh. And so the rumor going around is that you can't trust those Christians. They're cannibals. And then they were also being accused of being immoral because they love to talk about love. And they were accused of being a love cult. Isn't that funny? Because at that time, they were probably the most restrictive compared to the world at that time. And yet they were calling them immoral. And Peter says the best way to shut them up is to live an honorable life. Honorable words not backed up by an honorable life will not change anything. And as believers, we need to make our community better by what we do, not by what we say. So here's where I'm going to give you some advice, hopefully challenge you. Get involved in your community. This community will only be as good as you and me. You don't like schools? Run and be on the school board. Don't gripe. Do not gripe to me about stuff that you haven't taken responsibility for. I want Mount Ida to be the best little town in Arkansas. Here's the problem. I can't run for anything because I'm a pastor. Now, I can say things, and sometimes I get in trouble for what I say, but I'm here to tell you, you want this to be a good community? I think we live in one of the most beautiful. We're blessed to live here, all this. I want people to move here. Now, I don't want it to be Dallas. I've lived there. But I think we have something good to offer. And if you have good schools, good churches, we have a beautiful place to live. The only thing it has to have is good citizens who make a difference, who get involved and understand that we are to be a light in a dark community. In Matthew chapter 5, listen to what it says in verse 13 through 16. He says here, you are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot and worthless. Then he says, you're the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, they place it on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. In other words, we're to be the salt and the light to our community. And you know what that means? Listen, I've lived everywhere, right? I've lived in St. Louis, Missouri. I hadn't lived everywhere. Some of you live more. I've lived in Dallas for 13 years. I've lived in Horatio. I've lived in Louisiana, Monroe. And let me tell you what. You don't ever get away from the problems. They go wherever you are. The best place you can live is where you are and live and make a difference. People say, well, I want to get to where there's this and that. I've been there where there's this and that. And guess what's right around this and that? Bad stuff. It's everywhere. So make a difference where you live. Be a light. Be salt. Have you ever heard of a guy named William Wilberforce? Assignment. Go watch Amazing Grace. You remember that movie a couple years ago? Amazing Grace? William Wilberforce was a guy in England. He was an only child of rich parents, very, very, very wealthy. And he became a Christian later on in life and went into politics. And William Wilberforce was the primary person responsible for stopping the slave trade in England. And he didn't stop there. 3 days before he died, they outlawed slavery in England. He didn't just stop there. He limited the hours a kid could work, because at that time they were killing kids, working them. They didn't care about kids. He started prison reform. He started education reform. He helped the poor. And then he also started the ethical treatment of animals, that you don't abuse animals. And he was nothing more than a guy that accepted Christ and got on fire for God, and at first wasn't sure if he could do politics or not, but decided that that was God's will for his life. And his goal as a citizen was to make England a better place to live. And one of the things he saw, he said he saw his achievements as God's will, not his. Listen, we need believers from our church, in our community, making a difference. And many of you are. Wayne's right now trying to fix the wooden structure. What's it called? Yeah. And he needs help. I'd help him, except that would be funny. I'd be more in the way than anything else. I'll find something else to do in the community. Fixing stuff isn't part of my deal. But we've got to make a difference. And I hope that you will think about that and pray about it. Here's the third thing. Live, not lie. We don't want you lying. Live free as God's servant. It says in verse 16, "For you are free, yet you are God's slaves, so don't use your freedom as an excuse for evil." You know, one of the dangers when, and I think this is a danger in America, we're free, right? We're free to do whatever we want. That's what, you know, I can pick and choose what I want to do, right? Because I'm an American. Free, free, free. We just failed to read what the Bible says. The Bible says you're free, but you're a slave to Him. That means that you don't have the right to do whatever you want to do. You're a slave. That means you have no rights. Your only right as a believer is to do what God wants you to do. And so one of the things Peter says is you need to live free as a servant of God. In other words, do what He tells you to do. But so many times we do what we want to do. That's not biblical. And then you get to the last thing, and I'll close with this. I'm long-winded today. Keep four commands. I'm going to sum it up here. Four commands. These are all commands. These are not suggestions. He says, first of all, show respect to everyone. You're kidding me. Everyone? Everyone. Here's where I get in trouble. You're all for me. That means show respect to everyone. A Democrat or a Republican, you show respect. Rich, poor, you show respect. You say, well, I'm not one of them. Doesn't matter. Guys, I'm here to tell you, it says show respect to everyone. That means Christian, non-Christian. We're to show respect. Now, I looked at that in the Greek, and you know what it says? You show respect. Doesn't mean you have to agree. Please understand, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, you have to respect people. You say, why should I have to respect people? Well, James chapter 3, verses 7 through 10 tells us why. Because every single person is created in the image of God. I may not like what you believe. I may not like what you do. But the one thing I do know is God created you in His image. So I have to respect you. See, a lot of times as Christians, we only respect people who are like us. No, that means you treat people correctly. All people, Christian, non-Christian. That's a command. I looked it up. All people means all people. What does it mean to respect? It means to give value to. It's a human. When we stop seeing people as humans created in the image of God, that's when we get into trouble. Humans have emotions and have feelings. Show respect to everyone. That may be the toughest one for me. Because I like to show respect to people who agree with me. But that's not biblical. Second thing, here's another one. Love your Christian family. Love the brotherhood. I'm here to tell you, church is more than showing up on Sunday. It's doing life together. It's going downstairs and eating together. Brisket, chips. Now, we're doing it to raise money for the kids. But let me tell you something. This summer, we're going to have activities on Wednesday nights that aren't Bible study necessarily for adults and children and youth. We're going to have some. Why? It is important for you to be together. And he uses the word Philadelphia for love. It means friendship. That's a novel thing. You're supposed to be friends with each other. You're to go fishing together. It's okay to go fishing. It's okay to go hunt. It's okay to invite people over. It's okay. It's to be a Christian is to do life together. And for so many people, it's about showing up. Man, let me tell you, church gets good when you get involved and you share your life. That's why I love church. I don't love church because we meet at 10:50 on Sundays. I love it because of people like you. Because that's what church is, people. Romans 12, 4 and 5 says, just as our body have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and here's where I love it, and we all belong to one another. When you're not here, we suffer. And I just think, why would someone not want to be here? We're the most friendly people in the world, right? I mean, look at Brent. He gets up here, and when he does that opening, he's loud, and you know, he's like telling you to shake and all these things. You know, one of the reasons I just love Brent? Because he's real. That's what church is about. It's about family. It's about friendship. Now, the interesting thing is the third command, he says, fear God. This would solve all our problems. If everybody in this room just would fear God. I'm not talking about being afraid. The call for fear does not imply fright and crying and terror. It's a habitual attitude of awe and reverence. It's a safeguard against the temptation to abuse Christian liberty. Listen, if you fear God, you would care about what you do with your time and your money. Right? Because he's the head honcho, right? If you don't fear God, guess what? You will do whatever you want. Right? You know what restrains me? It's fearing God, respecting God. And then the last command, honor the king. Honor the emperor, some of your translations. That was one that, you know, you think, well, I don't like the president. Doesn't matter what you like. Do you really think you would like Nero better? Go read history. Do you think? Now, that doesn't say you agree with him. It just means you respect the office. I remember George Bush used to say that respect the office, respect the office. I don't agree with everything. Now, I know what some of y'all are thinking. You're thinking I'm a liberal. I know what you're thinking. My voting record would say different, but I would tell you, I would tell you, you have to respect the king. Because it says so here. Dominion you agree with him means you respect him. You see, we make church about going when really and truly it's about being a good citizen in the community. And I fear that we're raising adults and kids who have no respect for anything. And that scares me. It really does. But y'all can change that. Y'all do a good job. Your kids are respectful to me. I want them to know there is authority. And I want them to respect authority. You know why? Because our world would be a better place if everybody did that. Be a good citizen. Because that's what the Scripture teaches. Let's pray. God, I thank you for my country. I thank you for my church. I thank you for Mount Ida. I thank you for Montgomery County. I thank you for every law enforcement officer out there. I thank you for the firemen, and I thank you for the administrations that we have. I thank you for the laws, even though I don't always obey them. I thank you, Lord, for the church, that it was your idea. I thank you that you are who you say you are. You're the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. But God, help us. Help us to be good citizens. Help us to make a difference. Help us to be light in a dark world. And I ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.